Welcome, everybody, to a Real Deal Media special report. I'm Dean Ryan, and tonight we have what you would call some breaking intel deep within the insides of Parliament over there in the UK that's going to be brought to us tonight here by one of the most infamous whistleblowers to grace the stage here at Real Deal Media. And he graced the stage again in the most recent short documentary, January 6th, As It Happened. I want to re-welcome and reintroduce whistleblower of UK, Forsetti. Welcome back to Real Deal Media.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Just so you make your viewers aware, the reason why I wasn't on for a while is because I had to take a backseat from politics for family reasons, but now I'm back helping you guys out with as much information as I can.
Well, just before we get started, and as I shared with you earlier, a lot of people, you know, who have watched the Jane 6 As It Happened documentary that we were part of on an episode of America at War at the time, had no idea that that day of January 6th had much greater impact in you know, dangers that were well far out of D.C., as we expressed on that incredible presentation there. I don't know if you got that same feedback as well.
Yeah, the feedback was amazing, and the whole event of January the 6th was like a shot across the bow, sending the message to the people who refused to follow the establishment that they're going to try and win.
And Forsetti, I got to tell you, and I've always referenced you, but you were spot on, and I always knew you were, and you were spot on, because that day, even prior we spoke, you said the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is going to be Rishi Sunak. And I'll be damned, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I said it'd be Rishi. We'd have an interim Prime Minister for a short time, but then the overall Prime Minister would be Rishi, and that's exactly what happened. The thing that happened with Rishi was that the apparatus did not consider for a moment people would vote for, give any votes to Liz Truss. They thought that would be an instant win for Rishi, so they put it up to a diplomatic vote, and Rishi lost, and everyone was shocked and mortified that Liz won, so they bottled her out as quickly as possible, and then they brought Rishi in without a democratic vote whatsoever within the party, which upset a lot of people.
Right, that's right, and, you know, a lot of what we both said, you see, a lot of people may not know, before you came on the show that day, is I had information about the dirty bombs that were planted throughout in the United States, particularly the East Coast. Without even telling you that, I recall distinctly, you gave me the same kind of intel and the same kind of account from what you heard about dirty bombs placed throughout the United Kingdom. And what do you know? What do you know? That actually went off over there in Madrid, Spain, the day of the so-called inauguration. So all that aside, now that we kind of recapped, you know, you're coming back into the fold here with Real Deal Media, and this is at a time where a lot of people have said, in regards to the United Kingdom, because we do have a lot of British watchers, where is Charles? Where is the Sausage King of London? Where is this guy? It doesn't even look like him, nor does his wife. And now they're saying he has a busted prostate and he's nowhere to be found. So what exactly is going on here in the same regard to Kate as well?
So this comes from the same friend that gave us the information about what was happening with the late Prince Philip that you also broke on Real Deal Media. So the exact details are a bit fuzzy, but from what I've been told is that after Charles had an interview about evidence from the Epstein Island, Epstein files, and the flight logs about himself and his brother, he attempted suicide in his private quarters and was found by one of his concubines, because him and his wife have separate rooms because they're not really together, they just are for public reasons. And he was whisked away to hospital, and currently he's under 24-hour surveillance by a mental health team and his personal retinue. And they used the whole prostate cancer thing in the media as a cover story. And the email I sent Dean predates the news media by at least a day, giving this information, because I sent it as soon as I got it.
Yeah. And so this is already coming out into some of the tabloids, I would imagine. What do we know about Kate Middleton, too? Because it is kind of odd, and as well as stateside, some people within government and higher-ups with influence seem to be having health issues and are missing for some reason. Does that same thing apply to Kate Middleton?
Called a ectopic pregnancy. I believe that's the word, ectopic pregnancy, when the fetus starts growing with, well, the baby starts growing inside the ovaries, not the womb. So she had to have surgery for that. And the last thing the royals want to let out is failed pregnancy.
To kind of close this topic of the royals out, you know, we're looking at a time right now in the UK where, you know, just to heat some of these homes, especially in the north of England, where they're facing some most manufactured, murderous weather that England has ever seen.
Unbelievable. Outside, it is so warm, off and on torrential rain. Well, it is literally like a cyclone, like a whirlwind. It's weird. Weird weather.
We're talking freezing cold. To get a furnace and to keep yourself warm and not get pneumonia. Well, it's very costly. How can the justification at this point for monarchy continue in this brave new world we're entering in? And is that going to continue if Charles is going the way of the English sailor there?
Well, Charles is a puppet of the Lord Economic Forum. Everyone knows this. However, his son, William, is, well, he's going to be taking over the throne sooner or later anyway, because either Charles is going to have to step down through humiliation because of the exiting things, or if he does have prostate cancer, it's probably going to take him. And fortunately, he's not a puppet of the West, so maybe things can change for the better. Kind of hopeful, but, you know, hopeful but skeptical.
Or do they just return to Germany as the German tourists that they are, and monarchy can be a thing of the 20th century? I mean, the young people today certainly have no allegiance to any kind of monarchism in the United Kingdom going forward, do they?
Some people like it as a cultural artifact, something to look at, like having goldfish in a fish tank, but them having actual power on the world stage.
Yeah, but they got to pay for it. It's more like having a turd in a fish tank. Okay, let's move on here now. Let's now go to some very pressing issues here. You know, we see a conflict in the Middle East, of course, Israel. They're trying to saber-rattle, in many, many pundits' view, saber-rattle to get Iran in a bigger war. We saw this in Ukraine when, you know, Russia wouldn't take the bait. Well, they cut the Nord Stream pipeline and tried to include other countries into the conflict. Well, the same cabal behind that is definitely behind this, and we see the same kind of strategy of trying to get Iran. You see Lebanon, which I find very interesting that Iran and Lebanon are part of the axis of evils. But they're trying to goad Lebanon, Iran in a bigger war. And we know, from my analysis, that China has a lot of influence in Iran, which I've always said is a proxy war they're having with Israel. But that aside, where do we see this war now going into the next phase? Is it going to be going into the retirement home like Ukraine, or is it going to do overtime in a propaganda informational war of importance that we have to support it no matter what? How do we see this going forward?
Well, the intel, as it's been presented to me, is that we're publicly expecting war within a 5-year period. Privately, however, they're getting ready for it within a 3-year period, which is quite excelling things. If there is a war, they believe it would be a union of Russia, China, Iran, and possibly North Korea and Pakistan together against, well, the West. And from this, it looks like against NATO in general. And one of the things that hurts the West as well, you know, the whole mass immigration from, you know, using it from the South America into North America, from Africa into Europe. The reason why they're letting it and not stopping it is because we need more meat for the meat grinder. They're gonna introduce mass conscription. And they're just going to hope that the people who entered all these countries legally will defend it, which I highly doubt.
Yeah, it's very interesting you see this. You see the GDP in the UK alone, it's going up. A majority of the GDP is now dedicated to defense spending. That was said just the other day. And they're also encouraging other countries, if you can believe it, the gall, to do the same thing. Well, now Britain is bracing for war. With who? Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. Just for starters, in the next 5 years. This is a big deal. As a world in pre-war phase, warns Grant Shapps. Well, Mr. Shapps, as you'll be seeing here shortly, was unable to say when the government would hit its target for spending on the 2.5% GDP on defense, but it would strive to get there as soon as possible to make living a little easier for their citizens over there in the UK.
Today, for the very first time, the government is spending more than £50 billion a year on defense, in cash terms, more than ever before. In 5 years' time, we could be looking at multiple theaters, including Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. Ask yourself, looking at today's conflicts across the world, is it more likely that that number grows or reduces? But now is the time for all allied and democratic nations across the world to do the same thing and ensure their defense spending is growing too. Because, as discussed, the era of the peace dividend is over.
So you have England now, who just has a memory lapse that seems to have forgotten about Brexit. And like that never happened, and now want to get us into a war to completely have a history wipe of any just nefarious things that have happened in the past, 5 years, and just focus on the next war. So what's your take on that? Because I have not forgotten where Brexit is and the hard work people like Nigel Farage have put into the efforts of reigniting sovereignty in Magna Carta in the UK.
Well, unfortunately, Brexit has been betrayed. It could have been something beautiful and glorious, but the establishment have killed it the best way possible. They tied it down in red tape, legislation, and dragged it out so long that it's not really going anywhere. It's kind of frozen in a state of, political incompetence. And one of the worst precarious situations we're in, the European Union wants to start an EU army, and it looks like all the politicians that want to stay within the EU are going to use the proposition of an EU army, which is something they denied for decades, to go back in so it can be part of a massive EU army.
And that's what I think they're going to do. The EU, the head of the EU who dictates their, your immigration policy, they're going to put a target and a very dark label on countries of the EU that want to get out, places like Hungary. And they're going to use them as an example to see anyone who tries to get out of this union, we're going to punish you, put blockades. So we see that coming down the pikeway. We see Davos in the World Economic Forum kind of wrapping up their expo over there in Switzerland. And you have the who's who and everybody there. It's surpassed anything the Bilderberg Group could ever do. But they're actually trying to accelerate their plans for Agenda 2030, which they've already did before. It was Agenda 21. They just keep moving the line. But now they're saying that the biggest threat to all of mankind, no, isn't global warming anymore, nor is it Vladimir Putin or the white supremacists, KKK, none of that. No, it's misinformation and disinfo.
Yeah, Klaus. The annual Global Risk Report makes for a stunning and sobering read. For the global business community, the top concern for the next 2 years is not conflict or climate.
It is disinformation and misinformation.
What are we to take from that, from these people's mouths?
Well, Klaus Schwab, in his final speech, practically said that independent media and people skeptical of the state and people who align with libertarianism and libertarian views are practically the enemy of what they're going for. And to me, that sounds like a ringing endorsement for what we're doing here.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at the EU alone, they want all the information from WhatsApp. They want all the information of users from Facebook and everybody. And when Signal, the communication app, would not refuse to hand that over, they put a blockade. This is about centralized power going forward, and the power is only based upon who can control the narrative, and they're losing the narrative as far as I'm concerned. A lot of mass movements across the world have risen up, the protest against the genocide over there in the Middle East. I mean, we are viewing certain countries like never before, but anyways, kind of in closing here, where do we see the UK going now? The immigration's out of control. You go to London, you're not sure if you should be looking for a double-decker bus or a three-humped camel. Where do we see the future going at this rate for England? Because it's a bit grim from my point of view.
Honestly, at this point, it's a sinking ship. Those in power have just destroyed it in every which way but loose. And one of the scariest and darkest things is a friend of mine is the, that's exactly who they are, but they work very close with the defense minister. And the defense minister told me that the European Union, the Americas, the United Nations have made, and people within NATO have made discussions of speaking, this is just hyperbole right now, that allowing if Russia and China team up to attack certain NATO countries without a NATO response. The darker situation is they might say that they want to, Russia might want to say invade Finland because it's on the Russian border. Finland and Sweden, Finland's now in NATO, Sweden's going to closely follow suit. If NATO isn't ready for that response of Russia, China and Iran invading Finland, NATO might say, okay, you can have that NATO country without a response. So that kind of defies the whole point of NATO because that's the curious situation we're in right now.
Wow. Wow. Forseti, it's so good to have you back after all this time, and we hope to continue carrying the torch of light for England.
I'm glad to be back, and I'm pretty sure you've got an article I wrote coming up soon as well.
Yes, so people, you can see more of Forseti. This is just the beginning of his welcome back tour, if you could say. But thank you very much, Forseti.
Good night, everybody.
Well, there you have it. It is a very, very complicated international kind of a playing field, isn't it? But that's what war is all about, and that's why the world is at war. We're going to end it there in this little special report here for Real Deal Media. But in the meanwhile, just kind of think about the implications around the world right now that go far beyond the U.S. elections that we're currently in here in 2024. There are so many moving parts in spinning plates in this plandemic war. So I want to thank Forseti for returning home back to Real Deal Media. It's been a pleasure to welcome him back with just this incredible intel he's provided to this most effective audience. So anyways, for all of us here at Real Deal Media, I'm Dean Ryan saying thank you for sharing this, watching this special report here, because it's very important to people all over the world. Until next time, always remember to stay tuned and stay awake. Good night, everybody.